Amen. Thank you so much, men. Praise the Lord. We're on the winning side. Good old Stamps Baxter music, and wonderful to think about being on the winning side. Praise the Lord for that. Well, it's good to be back in God's house. We look forward to preaching here and seeing what God does tonight. I'm going to turn you in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to preach on the Word of God tonight. And as you're turning there, you know, we're only in September here. We've still got a good little bit of the year left. And I have a suspicion that many of you started off with a plan to read the Bible through this year. And but as happens, because of schedule and because of difficulties and all the stuff coming and basically life, then we get behind. If you read 3 or 4 chapters a day and for 365 days, you can get through the whole Bible. They say it's, I believe, 70 hours pulpit rate. If you just read like somebody's reading from the pulpit, 70 hours, and that's over a whole year. But I suspect that many of you had planned to read through the Bible this year. I've come a good time because you still got over a quarter of the year left. Catch up. And my son's doing online classes. I tell him, don't procrastinate and get all jammed up at the end. You know, do it a little bit at a time and make sure you stay on track. And we ought to have done that with the Word of God. But I'm challenging you. I don't remember the statistics, but there are many, many, a high percentage, way too high, of Christians that by their own admission never read through the Word of God from cover to cover. Like one old preacher says, I love it from cover to cover. I even like the cover. It says Holy Bible, so I even like the cover. Or as we'd say at home, kiver. You're kiver, kiver to kiver. And I suspect that many of us, you started off to say, well, I want to read it through all year. And I know you think, well, what about those things in Chronicles? That gets a little laborious. Well, it's all in there. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. You say, well, I don't need to figure out how all those people lined up, but it's profitable. God left it there for a reason. And so I'm challenging you. Now, if you haven't started now, and maybe it's a lofty goal and you don't want to do it this, but even if you've not done any of it, I challenge you before the end of the year to read the New Testament. If you're starting here at the beginning of September, just read between now and the end of the year, read the whole New Testament. Now, if you were started off on the beginning of the year, say, I'm going to read this whole year, a whole Bible through this year, I challenge you to get in it. Get caught up. Read and put an extra couple of chapters every day. And you as a Christian, all of us, ought to be able to say, I know what's in the whole thing. Now, you won't know it all. Preacher Lassie has been saved for a lot of years, been reading it for years and years, and he doesn't know it all. It's always fresh. I understand that, and certainly it will be. It's the living Word of God. But I'm challenging you as a Christian to get in it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this about the Word of God, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, if you had read all those verses up to that, it talks about entering into the rest that Christ gives, and talking about salvation and the rest that comes in that, and that you can't fake it. It's just there remaineth a rest, the Bible says in verse number 9, for the people of God. And it talked about entering into His rest in verse number 10. And it goes on to say that's the context of this verse, because it goes on to this verse number 12 that we just read and said, because the Word of God is quick and powerful. You can't fool God. And on the heels of that passage in verses 1 down to 11, he puts on this verse that says the Word of God is quick and powerful. It cuts and it divides and it gets down there where the rubber meets the road, as it were. It gets down there where the specifics are. And that's the Word of God, because the Bible says that it's a living, it's a breathing, it's the very Word of God, and it's what man ought to live by. You know the verses as well as I do, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And it's the Word of God. I want to preach about that for a little while this evening, about that powerful Word. You know, the Word of God gives more than we will ever be able to get. It's like the difference between a man and a woman, that if you ask a lady how things were at a certain event, well, you need to prepare yourself for a very long and sometimes laborious explanation. No offense, ladies. Now you ask a man, he was away for a weekend or was away at a week's trip for work or whatnot, and his wife, or she comes home and his wife says, "How was your trip?" You ladies know what he says. "It was good." And he means it. Every letter of that word, he means it was good. And she says, "Well, how was the sessions?" "They were good." "Well, how were the meals?" "They were good." "How was the hotel you stayed at?" "It was good." And so there's not a lot of extra fluff. But now you ask a lady, and then she will, and God bless you, I'm married to one, and it was on my own accord. I wanted to do it. And ladies just give all that long explanation of how this was, and they go into every detail, and they say more than you'd ever want to hear, probably. Especially to many of you, if there's a football game going on television, you say, "Well, it's really more than I want to hear." But there's not a lot of lack in what they'll describe. You sometimes get a text, and you'll tell your family, "Said so-and-so said to this person, this is happening, or so-and-so is in the hospital." And then your wife wants to know, "Well, what are they in there for?" "Well, I don't know. The text just says Sharon's in the hospital." And she says, "How long has she been there?" "I don't know. It just says Sharon's in the hospital." "So you think they're going to keep her overnight?" "I said, I don't know. It just says Sharon's in the hospital." "You think it's life-threatening?" "I don't know. It just says Sharon's in the hospital. Pray for her." And your wife eventually, out of frustration, says, "What do you know?" "I know that Sharon's in the hospital, and they want us to pray for her." Well, I'm just saying that there's you can give lots of information or you can give little bits of information. And the Word of God, God has given us more than we'll ever discover. I don't care if you've been saved for 50 years, more than that, and you've been reading the Word of God, you've been studying to show thyself approved, you will never uncover all the riches that are in this book. That's my promise to you. That's why next year I'll remind you, get in the book. I may give you the same speech that I just gave you. Listen, every Christian ought to get in the Bible, even the laborious parts. And I understand they're not all the Gospels of John, Gospels where it's a little easier to read and easier to follow the storyline. There's not always as outlined as maybe the epistles, and it gets back in that part. I know it's a little harder to digest all that, but we ought to be in the Word of God. And the Word of God, like the difference between a man's assessment of a weekend or a week and a lady's, there's much more than you'll ever discover or ever have time or the ability or the mind to discover in the Word of God. Why? Because it is the Word of God. In the title, it gives the reason you and I won't ever understand it all. Well, we'll understand it, but I mean why we won't ever dig out all the richness of it. It's not like a gold mine that eventually all the gold will be taken out of that mine. It's not like a silver mine that eventually all that metal will be taken out of there, all that ore will be taken, it'll be harvested, and there's no more. You will never harvest all of it. It's the Word of God. It's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It is God's Word. The word powerful, quick. The word quick just means living. You all been, my mama obviously lived down the road from her as I grew up, and her screen door on the front of that farmhouse have those little hard-shelled brown bugs, you know, that just kind of latch on there. Me and my brother, we'd go out and we'd flip them off, you know. We'd take her and just flick those things off of that screen door, and we'd think they were dead. They'd be over there laying on their back, but eventually you'd come back and they were gone. Looked dead, but they weren't. They were alive. They were quickened. I'm sure we caused them some great distress by flipping them, three yards across the front porch. But they were quickened. When they got over there, we thought they were dead, but they weren't. They were alive. And the Bible says about the Word of God, it's quick. It's living. That's what the word literally means. It's living. It's quick and powerful, the Bible says. All that goes on at the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is supposed to be built upon the Word of God. There's a reason why we have preaching, because the Bible says by the foolishness of preaching. There's a reason you have a pastor, because the Bible talks about a pastor leading the shepherding the flock of God. There's a reason why we have teaching classes, because the Bible talks about teaching the Word of God. There's a reason you have deacons, because the Bible talks about that office. There's a reason why we observe the Lord's Supper, because the Bible talks about that. There's a reason why we have gospel tracts. It doesn't necessarily say in their gospel tracts, but it does say get the gospel out, go into all the world. There's a reason why we support missionaries, because the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. But I'm trying to tell you that everything that we try to do here, there's a reason why we have children's classes, and we want to have a whole lot more of them, because the Bible tells us to suffer the little children to come unto Him. There's a reason why we do all these things, and we want to try to base it all on the Word of God. Because if this church is not built on the Word of God, it does not have a foundation that's sure. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me give you a few points right out of this text. It'll be very textual tonight, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word cuts when we can't see. Let me explain what I mean by that. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now, here's what we do. We try to dictate things from the outside, and we have to some degree. Maybe a Christian college where we took Maddie to, and some of your children have gone there, and they have rules for the outside. This is what you're supposed to wear. This is what you're supposed to do. This is how you're supposed to cut your hair, guys. This is how you're supposed to do this. This is what you're supposed to do. That's from the outside, and that's necessary as a church like ours. We say, okay, well, if you're going to come up here on the platform, we want you in a certain demeanor. We want you in a certain way. You're going to do this. You're going to teach a Sunday school class. Well, we want you to dress this way. You say, well, isn't that legalism? That's just having some rules to guide the way that that men look like men, and the ladies put on their Sunday dresses and get dressed like they should to come to church and keep things covered. Well, you say, well, isn't that legalism? Well, that's not legalism, and it's just some rules that you have to have, some guidelines to go by. But that's all that we can do from the outside. But praise the Lord, we're not limited to the outside, because the Word of God is quick and powerful. It divides even to the dividing asunder to the soul and spirit. It goes and works when you can't. And so that's what I mean by that when we say the Word cuts where we can't see. Somebody tells you, don't talk to me anymore about that religion stuff. Well, you've already given them some Bible verses, and the Word of God can work on them, and the Holy Ghost of God takes those and cuts and works on them. That's why gospel tracts are important, to leave them out and around, to put there so that it's written, well, if any tract's worth anything, it's got the Word of God in it, and it's got that, and so that the Word of God can go in the heart of somebody. I'm telling you this evening that the Word cuts where we can't see. I remember years ago talking to him. He was an older fellow at the church we were at in Murfreesboro at that point. He says, it's been 3 weeks since I've had a cigarette. And I went back in my mind and thought about what the pastor had preached on. He hadn't preached on cigarettes, hadn't preached on smoking, hadn't preached on any of that. But something in the Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God had instructed him and cut where the pastor couldn't even see. I'm telling you this evening that the Word of God does its work, and we make a mistake when we think that nothing's happening in the lives of people, individuals. Let the Word of God do its work. That's why it's important every service that we come to put the Word of God out and let it do its work, because it's the one that cuts where we can't see. We all know this well. We've all, the spring of the year, thought some bush was gone and dead. But you said, well, I'll leave it for just a little while, maybe even trimmed it up. And lo and behold, and some weeks later, there were sprouts and there was growth in that thing. It looked like it was well nigh gone or was gone, but there was life down in there. And I'm telling you, the Word of God may sit in somebody's life and they may not listen, and it may take you years to live a life that's based on the Word of God, or you witnessing to somebody, giving gospel tracts. It may take a long time, but I'm telling you, the Word of God cuts and it works where you can't see. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. Not only do I say that it works where you can't see, but I want you to know this, that it cannot be explained humanly. Look again in the verse here. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints, and of the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It pierces even to the dividing asunder. As the Holy Spirit and the Word of God work in the life of a person, it defies somebody human experience. How do you take a drunken sailor, somebody that lives a typical sailor's life and doesn't have any intention of living any way different, but the Word of God gets in him and he decides to go forward in an invitation time at a little serviceman center, and it changes his life completely. He goes home and starts his family and raises kids in church and raises family around the Word of God. How do you explain that? Well, as soon as you explain that, that would be explaining how I'm here tonight. Because my dad did have the Word of God working his heart and the preached Word of God, as somebody said, whosoever will. And as my dad sat back in the back of a little serviceman center, he thought, boy, if I thought that was true, I'd go. And eventually the Word of God permeated his heart and he had to go forward because the Holy Ghost of God wouldn't have let him do anything different. And he went and somebody opened the Word of God and he was born again. The Word works where you can't see. But the Word also works when it defies human reasoning. Oh, so-and-so won't ever get saved. Oh, really? God hasn't met somebody that he's been outmatched with yet. The Word of God cuts. And it does so many things that cannot be explained humanly. Let me give you an illustration about parents. Sometimes parents are pretty good about figuring out what really happened in the life of their children. I remember different times in my life when I think, man, how in the world did Mom and Dad know? It's amazing how much more intelligent my dad got from the time I was about 15 till when I got married. He became an intelligent man somewhere through there. You take a dad that's lined up three or four boys, and there's a broken lamp in the living room, and he knows one of them did it, but he doesn't know which one. He says, hey, did you break that lamp? No, sir, it wasn't me. The second one, hey, did you break that lamp? No, sir, it wasn't me. Third one, did you break that lamp? No, sir, it wasn't me. Fourth one said, did you break that lamp? What lamp? How many of you parents probably got a pretty good idea which one's the culprit? That mom and dad's able to figure out some things that those boys are too dumb to know. And on a much grander scale, the Word of God is able to find out when you and I are untruthful. Isn't it amazing that we try to fool God? But all of us do it. Oh no, I'm just asking for a prayer request. I don't want to gossip. Lord, you know me. Yeah, he does know you. That's why he knows you want to gossip. It's amazing how we try to fool ourselves and even the Lord. All of us have had to have our motives checked. But the Word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's just like a surgeon's scalpel. It goes in there where you and I can't get. Boy, thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for how good it is. It will work when we can't see. It cannot be explained humanly. How does a drunkard stay sober? How does an adulterer be true to his spouse once again? How does somebody that's a thief steal no more? How does all of these things happen? They happen when the Word of God permeates somebody's life, much like a drizzling rain that gets down there and soaks in. The Word of God, it divides and it cuts and it gets down in there where you can't get, but God's Word can. My friend, I'm telling you, this is the Word of God. This is not a good book. This is the book of God. Oh, we say it's a good book, yes, the good book, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but it's the Word of God. And I shudder to think how many of us Christians go sometime for days without getting in it. You say, preacher, I don't understand it all. Neither do I. Read it anyway. Ask God to give you something that day. He'll leave you something for the next day because He won't let you understand it all today. It's an amazing thing that it cuts down to the joints and the marrow. It's not turning over a new leaf, my friend. It's not putting your best foot forward. It's putting the Word of God in your life and letting it do its work. It's happened too many times. It's changed too many lives. It's salvaged too many families for it to be a coincidence. It can't be explained humanly. Let me give you this last one. The sword of the Lord, the Word of God, the Word of God cuts through the junk, if you will. It cuts through the fluff. It cuts through the deception, whatever you want to put on there. What do you mean by that? Look at the last phrase of the verse. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. As I mentioned already, we'll be such audacity to even try to fool God. But God says, my word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How many of you have been fooled before? All of us have. How many of you have fooled other people before? All of us have. Let me tell you who you've never fooled. God Almighty. Lord, I can't do it today. The Lord puts somebody on our heart that we know we ought to go share the gospel with, a friend, a neighbor, a relative, somebody that we work with, whatever. And God put them definitely on our heart. And we knew that we ought to spend the time to go over that night and just try to chum around with them a little bit and get in the gospel. But we said, Lord, I've got so much going on. Probably not a good time for them. I've got a headache. Something's wrong with me. The car needs gas. If I go take that trip, I won't be able to make it to work in the morning until what I have to stop by the gas station. I'm telling you, we've even deceived ourselves. But the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It cuts through our emotions. It cuts through our manipulations. It's the Word of God. You know, you buy something from a salesman. We bought, like everybody else in this room, we bought several appliances at the different houses we've owned. An appliance salesman takes that refrigerator. He says, oh, this one's got everything you need. You can see through the front door on this one. How handy that is. You don't have to stand there with the door open. You can just stand there with the door. Some of them now have a glass in the front. You can just look through. This one makes ice, and this one's got the freezer on the bottom instead of the top, or it's got it on the side instead of up top. It's got all these things, water and ice to the door. It does all of these things. I'm waiting for it to bring me a drink to the couch. But you know the most important thing your refrigerator can do? Keep stuff cold. Sometimes people go all on and on and on about their car. It does this, it does this, it does this. And look at what all it's got. Say, man, can we hear it run? Oh, not right now. It's broke down. Mechanics, you're working on an old car in the basement or in the garage or something. Oh, can't do it right now. It's not running. But the best thing about a car is that it runs. Best thing about a refrigerator is it runs and keeps things cool. In our lives, we often tell people and try to even tell God what we're doing, but the Word of God cuts down to it and shows what we really are doing. You know what we're good at? We're good at advertisement. Well, I'm doing this. I'm a Sunday school teacher. As soon as that pastor gets Sunday school going, I'm back in there. We're good at advertising how good of Christians we are. We're good at advertising how good of a neighbor we are. We're good at advertising how good of a husband we are. We're good at advertising how humble we are, like that fellow wrote that book, the 10 most humble people in the world, and how I taught the other 9. You know, we're good at advertising. We're good at saying things. We're good at putting on like we are somebody. But the Bible says that the Word of God, it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Let me tell you what we wouldn't want. We wouldn't want to have up on this screen the thoughts that have went through all of our minds this week. But the Bible says that the Word of God, like a heavenly scalpel, goes through those thoughts and intents. You think you're covering something, you may be covering it to the pastor. You may be disguising it from some church members. You may be disguising it from some co-workers. But I tell you this, the Word of God, as you get in it and it gets in you, it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It will, as the old guy say, nail your hide to the wall every time. It's the Word of God. My friend, it's God's Word. This is the book that tells us of heaven and hell. Happiness and joy. This is the book that tells us to have a good marriage and to stick with the one you got. This is the book that will knock the Pharisee out of all of us when we start thinking too high of ourselves. The Bible tells us how to be sure of our heavenly home. The Bible is the Word of God. Tonight, not a very bombastic sermon, but you're looking at, and you're holding, most of you, the Word of God. We have laid it on the shelf. Our nation was built upon it. It's the book that has salvaged more marriages than any marriage retreat you'd ever hear of. It's the one that's kept more women safe than any battered women's shelter in the world. It's the one that's dried up more alcoholics than any reform program that you could ever go to. It's the one that's built godly churches that were a welcoming place for sinner and saint alike. It's the Word of God. My friend, we're going to have to fall in love with it one more time. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. This book is the very Word of God. Lord, would you please bless us? Father, we've got your Word. And Lord, I don't want to be unkind or snarky, but Lord, we've got your Word, and all of us, the one standing and the one sitting, if we're not careful, we don't get into it enough. Lord, the pastor and the congregation, if we're not careful, we neglect it. Lord, we run out of the house and we're running late, and we think very little about not spending time in the Word of God. Somehow thinking that our labor at the church would cover our neglect of God's Word, your Word. But dear Lord, it doesn't work that way. Lord, would you help us have an old-fashioned revival in love for the Word of God one more time. Bless us, please, I ask. Ladies, would you begin to play? And as they play, would you stand? I believe there's a revival that's needed. As we get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into us. Because it is God's Word. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's not a good book. It's God's book. And tonight I'm challenging you to one more time stake your claim upon the Word of God. That I'll build my life upon it. I'll base my marriage upon it. We'll build this church upon it. God will build it, but we'll put everything upon it. The Word of God. If God's speaking to your heart right there where you are, would you make that promise to God? I'll hold that book up. If you're a father with children in the home tonight, would you in your heart or at this altar, either one, say, God, we'll build our family upon that book. It's the Word of God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I'd like for somebody to take the Word of God. We'd have somebody take the Word of God, this book, and show you how you could be saved. Know you're on your way to heaven. If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. There's an old-fashioned altar. You can say, I'm going to build my life upon it. I'm going to base my marriage upon it. If you ever plan on getting married and having a successful, godly home, then you'll build it on this book or else you won't build it. This Word of God, would you come? As she plays, and if God's speaking to your heart, would you come? If you're here tonight and you're not saved, the Word of God says you must be born again. That's God's Word, not John Herdman's words. That's God's Word. If you're not saved tonight, same phrase, born again, same thing for being born again, saved. Two ways to describe the same event. If you're not saved tonight, would you step out and come? Brother Daniel, standing in the front of the pulpit I preach from, would love to meet you and show you from the Word of God how you can be sure heaven's your home. As you continue to pray, if you have not yet told God, God, I'm going to build my life upon that Word. I don't care if you're 17 or 70. If you're 7 or 37, whatever age you are, my friend, if you're building your life upon anything but the Word of God, you are building it on an unsure foundation. Lord, thank you for this time to be in your house, dear Lord. I pray that you would help everybody in this room to commit to you, Lord, and I commit to as the pastor and then also the dad and husband of my home. Lord, I want to build it upon Your precious Word. Be with us now, in Jesus' name. Make it so. Amen. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. And what a joy it is to be in God's house. I'm going to give you a couple of announcements as you go. Miss Becky will be in the lobby. Becky wrote will be out there. And if you can, on Tuesday or Thursday, as Brother Bob talked about earlier, stop by here in the morning or in the evening, whichever way, get some donuts for a care facility or a hospital or a doctor's office or a police station or a fire station. There's all listed back there. Maybe you know one we don't have on our list, but you'd stop by and get some and take them with some invite cards. Then please stop by and see Becky. She'll give you a reminder card like that. Everybody else, if you can't do that, I understand everybody can't, their schedule won't allow, but if you can't do that, there's on the table stacks of 5 invite cards that I'd like for everybody to take 5. You say, well, I don't know if I can get them out. Well, they won't do us any good here. So you take them out. That's where prayer comes in. Say, God, please give me an opportunity this week to invite some people that would pertain to for Hero Sunday. We'll start our fall campaign. And I want you to pray for me as I get ready to preach next week and get the gospel and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll look forward to that. So I'd like for everybody to get that. Obviously, they'll be taking the offering at the end and at the back doors with the buckets. But please don't forget to get some of those invite cards and sign up for one of those facilities if you can. Also, Brother Daniel needs to meet. If you sing in the mixed ensemble, if you'd meet by the piano just for a brief practice tonight, then Brother Daniel will take care of you as soon as you get up here. Also, on September 17th, Brother Daniel and Brother Dan will have a meeting with all of those that are involved in the music ministry here at Buffalo Ridge. You play, you sing, you do something, or you used to, or you want to, or you think you maybe should, or whatever, wants you to come. And there'll be a meal provided. They'll have it in such a way that it'll be safely distributed and all that. But have a meal provided. Have a great time. Maybe you've got a violin in that closet and nobody knows about it. Once you accept you and God, well, it's time to let somebody else know. And you come, and we'd love to use your talent for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.